session. Hopefully our presentations all work. Our first speaker is George Guenther, and he'll be talking about temperature effects on rose respiration rates of heat-tolerant and intolerant tomato varieties. Is that you? Come on up. I'll give you a two-minute warning.
All right. Alrighty. Hi, everyone. Welcome. Thanks for coming in this morning. I'm George. I'm a master's student at the University of Minnesota in the Department of Horticultural Sciences, working with Dr. John Irwin. And today's presentation is on a project that's a component of my master's thesis research, examining the temperature effects on root respiration rates of, in this case, heat-tolerant and intolerant tomato varieties. The reason why my research focuses on temperature responses by root systems is that root stress is a largely unappreciated component of the growing industry. A lot of producers are using black plastic pots and outdoor production methods in the summer. And those things in combination with solar radiation can result in high media temperatures and eventual root stress. There's evidence to suggest that roots are more sensitive to temperature extremes than above-ground tissues, and that long-term exposure to high media temperatures can impact root growth and viability. And additionally, large proportions of plant photosynthetic products are typically allocated to root systems, even under non-stressful conditions. Under increased respiratory activity, higher metabolic activity at high temperatures, the source-to-sink effect of carbohydrate use is increased. And may ultimately cause a limit in growth and yield. Additionally, root zone stresses may directly impact photosynthesis. There's evidence to suggest that changes in hydraulic conductivity as a consequence of direct root damage can result in stomatal closure, as well as potential shifts in hormone balances, also closing stomata and impacting photosystems and productivity, which then aggravates the source-to-sink issues provided with increased respiration on the root level. Duration and intensity are certainly a component of all of this. A number of studies have looked at longer duration exposures to sort of middling temperatures, but there's been less work done to look at short-term high duration or high intensity temperature exposures, which is what we chose to do for this study. I should note the root mass pictured here is a plant grown in a black plastic pot in Half Moon Bay, California last summer. The right side of the root mass is completely dead and killed off as a consequence of heat exposure with solar exposure. The left side is a healthy side, not exposed to solar radiation. Now, I mentioned California here, but high root temperatures are ubiquitous and largely an appreciated threat, as I said. In Minnesota, even on a 29.5 centigrade, so 85 Fahrenheit day, you can get media temperatures inside the edge of a black plastic pot well above 50 centigrade. That's certainly a damaging to dangerous temperature for root systems. Additionally, in California, in mid-August, even by mid-morning, you can get into the 40 centigrade range, certainly higher by the end of the day. On the graph presented here, the blue points represent air temperatures, and the red points represent media temperatures in one-gallon pots. This was collected during a heat wave we had in Minnesota at the end of last September, of all things, right after the sort of the fall solstice. And you can see there's a significant difference between air temperature and media temperature, particularly on some of the days where the temperatures in the air were between the 80s and 90s Fahrenheit up into the 120 range Fahrenheit in the media. So the objectives of this study were to identify the impact of increasing root temperatures from 48 to 57 in these highly stressful ranges on different tomato varieties and examining their root respirations in response to that, and to determine whether or not some of these tomato varieties, which had been previously identified as heat intolerant or tolerant based on other characteristics, varied in their root respiration responses. We were looking at tomato varieties which had been previously identified as heat tolerant or intolerant based on various above ground characteristics, so pollen viability, fruit set, certain photosynthetic characteristics, but without any real evaluation of root systems. These varieties spanned anything from wild type accessions like LA 1994 to heirlooms like Nachgarlang and Moskvich, and some certain line bred varieties as well like Solar Set and Solar Fire. The experimental setup was something a little bit new. I'll be doing some additional poster presentations on this. We made use of a new galvanic oxygen sensor that basically has the ability to measure partial pressure of oxygen in media or in a closed environment in real time in combination with the Campbell Scientific Data Logger. Root systems and jars. In this case, the root systems were inserted into jars with the sensors. Were heated in an improvised water bath system. I actually made use of a Gormia brand sous vide immersion circulator and heater to maintain the consistent temperatures. And the glass jars contained 30 milliliters of dryolite desiccant. I should mention that because we had issues with humidity with the sensors, so adding the desiccant helped to reduce that effect on the sensors without impacting the collection of our data. We tested that independently. So the experiment was set up as a completely randomized design with a factorial arrangement. We had 3-6 reps per treatment, in this case plants. We waited until the plants were well-rooted in 50-cell plugs in a soilless media, roughly 75% or more root coverage all the way around. Staging in terms of leaf count was between 7 and 11 leaves, depending on the variety. At the time of sampling, the above-ground growth was removed just above the media. We clipped off the shoots. The plugs were then heated in a water bath to the desired treatment temperatures and then inserted into glass jars for measurement using the sensors. Temperatures were 48, 51, 54, and 57 centigrade. And the readings were taken, pressure readings were taken every 10 seconds for about an hour and a quarter to an hour and a half to obtain a steady rate for respiration sort of at those temperatures. After the data was collected, the values were converted from partial pressure to micromoles and then regressed to obtain rates over time. And then standardized by fresh and dry mass across the different varieties. Additionally, for a control in this system, we used unrooted media plugs of the same volume to check for microbial and atmospheric effects within the jars. Once we regressed that data, we subtracted it from the rooted data to obtain our final rates. And so, first and foremost, we observed that peaks in mean respiration rate were observed for almost all of the varieties, around 51 centigrade, but by 57 centigrade, respiration had dropped to almost nothing. Variation in the absolute rates adjusted for both fresh weight and dry weight with these tomatoes was different depending on temperature across varieties, varieties across temperatures, and the interactive effect between temperature and variety. Additionally, we decided to separate out heat-tolerant and intolerant varieties based on the previous characterizations and found that mean respiration rates of the heat-intolerant varieties were indeed lower than those of the heat-tolerant varieties. This graph is a representation of those mean respiration rates for the different varieties at the different temperatures. On the x is the temperature tested, and the y is the oxygen consumption rate, in this case inferred to be the root respiration rate in micromoles of oxygen per hour per gram. You can see most of them do peak up around 51 centigrade and continue to drop off to 57. Now, the percent reduction, at least based on this data, appears to be a bit different for some of the varieties examined. So we decided to go a little bit further with that, and I'll get into that in just a second. Mean respiration rates, again, are represented here. The main point with this slide, as busy as it may be, is that 48 and 51 were significantly different in terms of rates than 57 as that drop-off was observed. So given the fact that some of the varieties seem to change a little bit differently from 51 to 54 in their respiration rates, we decided to look at the percent reduction in respiration rates from either 51 centigrade to 54 centigrade or from 51 to 57. And those two temperature changes, the percent reduction varied across all tomato varieties. However, when we looked at the same percent reductions in terms of variety or between varieties, it did not vary across temperatures. Additionally, when we characterized or looked at the characterized heat intolerant and tolerant varieties, the percent reduction in respiration rates did not vary across temperatures. This is a graphic representation of that percent reduction in respiration rates from 51C to either 54 or 57 across varieties. You can see that from 51 to 54, it was around a 50% reduction in respiration rate. But up to 51 to 57, a percent reduction was over 1, or over 100%. So it was a pretty significant reduction. So coming out of this, our data indicates that it's fair to say short-term high root temperatures do impact tomato root respiration, and that root temperatures between 51 and 57 result in a significant decrease in respiration rates. Reductions in root respiration with increased temperature actually also paralleled reduced rates in photosynthesis that we observed in an additional study. I have a poster I'm presenting on that this afternoon. But we also do think that the further investigations needed to look at the relationships between the absolute respiration rates, the heat tolerance, previously characterized in these plants, and the root death thresholds. In order to do that, we're actually in the process of analyzing a large amount of root electrolyte leakage data. We're looking at ECs to determine where the actual membrane damage and death in these root systems is occurring to line up with the respiration data and potentially the photosynthesis data. And so with that, I would like to thank my advisor, John Irwin, for lots of support and plenty of pushing along the way. Dr. Bruce Bugbee and Paul Kasuma of Utah State University for their help with the oxygen sensors and some of the methodology here. Ron Wagner for providing plugs that helped to lead up this project. And my various sources of funding, the Minnesota Experiment Station, Minnesota Grand Challenge, the Floriculture and Nursery Research Initiative, and Altman Plants, Inc. And with that, thanks for hearing me out, and I'd be happy to take questions.
Who has questions?
Are you relating the oxygen consumption to carbon use in those roots?
We haven't made the direct connection with the carbon use. We haven't looked at the exact balances there. The idea is, at least from the point of consumption of oxygen to production of CO2, we're thinking it's about a one-to-one. But in terms of how much carbon they're using, we haven't looked into that yet. We actually removed the tops. We decided to destructively sample the tops, in part as a methodology component. Non-destructive sampling with this system is difficult with leaks. Additionally, we actually found that severed root masses without the tops continue to respire at a fairly consistent rate for a very long period of time. I've tried masses with and without media that have continued to show a linear decrease in the oxygen pressure within the jars for well over a 24-hour period. So within the relative hour to hour and a half of sampling, I didn't have reason to believe that the respiration rate was going to be significantly impacted by the lack of above ground tissues.
It would depend on how much carbohydrates gone down from the tops to the roots prior to the decapitation.
That could certainly be a consideration, yeah. Indeed. We kept all of the tomatoes in the same growing environments. We had them in a controlled chamber for a couple of days leading up to this, so the plants were sampled just prior and otherwise exposed to the same growing conditions.
Have you tried different above-ground conditions prior to decapitation to see what the influence might be on respiration rate later?
We haven't done that yet, although that would actually be a fantastic thing to investigate. Thank you for the suggestion. Mm-hmm. So not a ton. Individually, again, there was a difference between the intolerant varieties and the tolerant varieties on a whole, but individually in separating them out, we did not see a consistent trend in that. The photosynthesis study, we did actually find one heat-tolerant variety that stood out and one heat-intolerant variety that stood out, but at least based on this respiratory data now, I don't have clear delineations between the varieties.
One more question.
We did. I took a temperature gun as well as a insert probe to measure the root temperature. There was a little bit of variability in the transfer between the heating bath and the heating jar, but I made an effort to, once they were in the heating jar, heat the jar so that the air temperature in the jar was maintained at that same rough treatment temperature. So pulling them out, they were roughly around within, you know, a half a degree to a degree centigrade of that desired treatment temperature.
Close enough. Thank you, George.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.